Today across the world, many people are celebrating Easter, the resurrection. Many of my UU colleagues have spent days and weeks and sometimes months preparing for this Sunday, because some will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and some will celebrate April Fool's Day. Others perform rituals honoring the goddess. Many of us spend time in family painting Easter eggs, maybe even impersonating the Easter bunny. All of this, right? We hold all of these traditions. So my colleagues, some of them have shared their worship plans, and I'm always amazed by our diversity and how, as ministers, we wrestle with being theologically relevant. That same theological diversity that invites us into a welcoming liberal faith and caring community at times might be the source of division, a sense that we lack authenticity and commitment to honor all of our religious and spiritual traditions, including our Judeo-Christian roots. My former church in Brookline, Massachusetts, not only celebrated Easter as high church and followed by an egg hunt, but also commemorated Maundy Thursday with the washing of the feet of the congregants by the ministers. It was such a deeply moving service for me. Talk about humility. We also gathered for a somber Tenebrae evening service where the choir would sing, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," ending in complete darkness after the readings of the Passion and the Crucifixion. As ministers, we always strive to be inclusive, to be respectful, to offer meaningful worship services that honor our various traditions. Here at Stark King Unitarian Universalist Church, our hope is that we can find common ground and revel in our rich diversity. As I mentioned before, April will be a month to reflect on Mother Earth and recommitting ourselves to environmental justice. So today we are invited to reflect upon Easter and the resurrection within the context of Earth justice, to consider the suffering and the wounds upon the body of our Mother Earth, Gaia, our blue planet, our home, to contemplate the gifts of spring and to be filled with awe at the beauty and potentiality for transformation that is all around us, to renew hope while adding to our compost pile. Beyond social justice, politics, law, science, economics, and international accords, the environment is a spiritual being. Across religious traditions, there is a greening of faith. In his essay, With New Eyes, Paul Bruckelman illustrates this point through the experience of the famous naturalist and conservationist John Muir, who in 1867 suffered an accident that left him temporarily blind. Part of his treatment was to spend an entire month in a completely dark room. He's said to have exclaimed, "My eyes closed forever on all of God's beauty. I am lost." He spent that month dreaming of the wilderness of Yosemite Valley in the Sierras. When the bandages were removed from his eyes and he could see again, he saw everything anew. He had been transformed by the resurrection of his sight, and he could no longer find happiness apart from nature. Muir's experience was an epiphany, a spiritual awakening, and a revisioning, changing how he saw nature, not as an object anymore, and his role within it as a naturalist. Communing with nature, he felt a deep connection to the universe, felt a part of something bigger than himself, and was moved to reorient his spirit. He found a spiritual home in nature. In the face of ecological devastation, we are all being called to revision, to a spiritual transformation towards finding our way home in nature. Paul Brockelman asserts the need for a serious ethical response to nature and the environmental situation in which we find ourselves. He believes that the environment is a spiritual issue, and that if we are to change our abysmal behaviors towards the environment, we will need more than just scientific analysis and social legislation. We need a renewed moral perspective and a code that can help to change our communal behaviors. Our inability to envision ourselves as part of a larger body, a larger reality, whether divine or merely natural, has resulted in a demoralized culture in which we see ourselves as disembodied intellects outside or above nature. Now, the good news is that there is a genuine hunger all over the world for this renewal, for this revision, for a meaningful, interconnected web of life, for an earth community filled with awe and reverence, making possible transformation and all kinds of resurrections. As an ecofeminist, I face this Easter Sunday with the pain of knowing that in this very moment, the bodies of the holy, majestic, sacred mountains and rivers are being desecrated and destroyed for the oil industry profits. To keep my faith and hope alive, I turn to prayer, to communing with nature, to social action, and I turn to the compost pile. Catherine Keller teaches us that the compost heap offers a metaphoric answer to our situation. She envisions God as the great recycling center in the universe. She says, "We cannot escape from our world, but we need not. We need rather to take account of where we are, who we are, who we are with, and what we are for, and thus proceed with our own recycling of ourselves and our cultures." Attention to waste is precisely attention to the dimension of life that rots, that ferments, that decomposes, of what makes itself available to pass into another life form, of what dies into the future as the long, slow, nutritional base of what will be. She continues to say that meditation on waste dumps us inevitably into a heap of old theology. The assaultive force on the sexism inherent in all theology suggests a separation from earth. A liberation from earth identified female powers that had been spiritually symbolized in the ancient goddess. Goddesses like Astarte, Ishtar, Isis, and Athena appeared in early form surrounded by natural creatures, often snakes and birds. The Mayan goddesses are depicted as being born from maize, and the Native American corn mother is creator and guardian of all. This suggested a kind of kinship between humans and non-humans. These ancient images have their own tradition of justice that heals earth and human imbalances. The goddess calls us to renewal and recycling, death giving way to new life. To recycle is to recycle the matter of our past, and the past is constituted of relations, broken ones, violent ones, sustaining ones, promising ones, unpredictable ones, human and non-human ones. The past is always being made over into a present seeded with the future. Only after the dirty work of sifting and sorting, of isolating the toxins and piling the garbage, of gathering the bits of green and digging the pit, is it possible to begin to lay the compost into the ground and then to rejoice at the potentiality for beauty, for awesomeness, for new life. Beloveds, how shall we live together in the face of such environmental devastation? We are not being called to save the world. Rather, we are being called to love it. Yes, to love it. Love every animal, every tree and every leaf, every mountain and every grain of sand, every river, every ocean, and every single drop of water. It is our love that makes these things sacred and holy and affords them personhood. Whether you call it God's creation, the body of the Buddha, Corn Mother, Pachamama, Gaia, Divine Mystery, or just trees, may you allow yourself to see with new eyes and to reawaken awe and reverence in your spirit. May you allow yourself to be excited, to feel refreshed as you take in all the beauty this world has to offer. What Rachel Carson calls an indestructible sense of wonder, the unfailing antidote against disenchantment. On this Easter Sunday, may you experience the resurrection of hope, of your sense of wonder and of new ways of being that make you feel connected to your best self, to each other, and to the whole of creation. And may we all find our way home in nature. Blessed be. Amen. Ashe.